welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
I feel like we're back to normal week this week.
Think so?
You know, Trump, I mean, Trump's got legal woes he has to deal with. The Republicans are carrying water for the Democrats to help them get reelected. Third party candidates are being crazy. It's a good old fashioned week.
I'd say. And no big deals. Charge letters or target letters coming out. Your standards.
I got to tell you, like, if you were like a movie critic, right, and you screened a movie, and that movie like had some key plot points that were like twists and stuff like that, and you spoiled those twists before the movie came out to the general public, like, you'd be a dickhead. Like, don't spoil the exciting happenings,
right,
before they get released to the public at large.
Yeah, I'm a little bummed.
Yeah,
because I get it, right? Like, I get Trump's whole thing of, hey, let me try to put this out in the public, give it a couple of days, and let like my news minions and my other social media minions rip it apart, make it not a big deal, make it into digestible bullshit, and then for my clan of idiots, and then by the time the real story comes out, they don't care anymore.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I know that's the MO. Because Trump goes out and he goes on Truth Social and he's like, I'm going to tell a lie, ironically. And he's like, this is a corruption and this is terrible that I received this target letter in reference to, you know, trying to overturn the election on January 6th, right? Which is obviously sort of a run up to a possible indictment.
I have to read the truth in full, and I'm going to read it as he wrote it. Okay,
I would expect nothing less.
Yeah. On Sunday night, while I was with my family, horrifying news for our country was given to me by my attorneys. Deranged Jack Smith sent a letter again. It was Sunday night, stating that I am a target of the January 6th grand jury investigation and giving me a very short 4 days to report to the grand jury, which almost always means an arrest and an indictment. Sorry, it's a capital A, capital I. So you have to really, lay.
Yeah, you got
to
punch it up. Here's what I love about this. One, I don't care that you were having dinner with your family. You and I both know you really weren't. You were having dinner. Your family was probably not even at the table. Let's be real. Two. Yeah, it's horrifying news when the rule of law is followed in this country. What a crazy idea. But on a serious note, yeah, dude, you're spoiling the ending. Like, I kind of want to hit that. Like, I want to wake up on a Monday and just like my phone's going off and it's like Donald Trump has been indicted again. I'm like, that's what I want. Like, we used to live in a time where you didn't know these things were coming. And then it was just like, wow, that's a shock. Now you're like, oh, he's getting indicted. That's a fucking literally. I mean, it'd be crazy if he didn't. But good. He should be indicted. As far as I'm concerned, I don't know that I would say it's a slam dunk case. Right? Mm-hmm. And the reason why I'm saying that is not because I don't believe that he's guilty. I 100% believe he's guilty. I think it is incredibly obvious. But I don't think it's a slam dunk case like potentially the Georgia case will be.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the documents case in Mar-a-Lago. Yeah. Like, that's a slam dunk case, right? I didn't take anything. Dude, here is tape of you saying that you took this, right? This one's a little harder because he was not an active member of January 6th, but he was the guy who edged it on, right? Like, mm-hmm. It's like somebody get rid of this worrisome priest, right? That sort of thing. And the question is the jury, I don't want to say smart enough, but are they savvy enough to understand that when a mob boss speaks in code, it is the same as giving direction, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's the question. So I don't know if some people are not savvy enough or incredibly too cynical or already in this sort of like shit-filled biodome that is the right, that they can't like see straight. I don't know. So I'm not so sure that this one's going to be like, oh, he's definitely going to get indicted and definitely found guilty. I honestly don't know. He should, but I don't know that the jury is the grand jury is going to be that savvy. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I think that, again, because the bar for indictment is much lower than that of conviction.
Right.
So I think he would get indicted, and I don't think that the,
oh yeah, I'm saying he's definitely going to get indicted. I'm saying as far as being found guilty.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, we have to see the evidence, right? Because, you know, I don't think that the special counsel, given the fact, given the gravity of the situation, given he's the former president and running right now in the Republican campaign, I don't think that that they would be bringing this to a grand jury if they didn't have like really good evidence. Like I don't think that they would make this charge frivolously. It doesn't seem like Jack Smith's MO to do that. He seems to be a pretty conservative and small C conservative guy. Like, cause, I mean, you can look at the documents case. Like, he only charged Trump with the documents that he specifically withheld, like when they went to him the first time and got back a lot of the documents that he had, though he wasn't charged with retaining those. He was only charged with the ones that they hid.
Exactly.
You know, before the FBI raid. So I don't think that, I have to imagine the evidence is pretty good. I'd have to imagine he has some pretty good witnesses, lined up to be able to testify against Trump. That. Yeah. Let's get right into it then.
So we talked about this last week. Rudy Giuliani was offered a proffer deal, right? Which is for all intents and purposes, that's a queen for a day, right? We will not prosecute you. We will not go after you for these things that we know that you've done. But, you know, pull your skirt up, lady. We're getting all of it, right? Like, it's kind of like that. And we're just going to need you to tell us everything. And so he was offered, he got this proffer deal, right? And we talked about, like, is Rudy going to, like, is he going to knife Trump in the back? Is there honor amongst thieves? He's been pretty, like, loyal to Trump so far, but he's also an incredibly craven person. And look, I am on record saying I don't think that Rudy Giuliani is going to knife this guy in the back. Probably not. Well, I'm happy to be. It seems that I am very wrong, which I am actually elated about.
Yeah, because you know who didn't get a target letter?
Rudy Giuliani.
Rudolph Giuliani.
He was like, "Nah, I'm good." That's a real shame. Yeah, target letter? That's crazy, dog. Like, what you gonna do? Not me. So yeah, of all people who is definitely involved in all the back channeling and sort of backdoor dealing bullshit around January 6th. He is one of Trump's most trusted advisors. He did not get a target letter. And that is fucking crazy. And there's no way they didn't give him a target letter, like, because they figured out he didn't do anything. Fuck no. No way. I mean, I think you'd be incredibly naive to believe that he didn't get a target letter because he was, you know, they couldn't find something on this guy. Right. Get the fuck out of here. So he likely has flipped. Okay. That's pretty good. I'll take it. I love it. I want more of it. What are your thoughts on that?
It's interesting because the Salon article that you have linked that we drum back to the story brings up a good point. And the problem with all these ghouls being like old as shit is, like, if Giuliani, like, Giuliani's 79, if he were to get, like, if he were to be charged and he were to get handed like a 5-year prison sentence, that's enormous for him because he's 79. Right. Like the odds are very possible that he would just die in jail.
Go on.
So that's interesting. Again, I still go back to what I said last week. I feel like, and we haven't heard his name in association with this. I feel like that Meadows is going to be the fall guy for all this because because he seems like he's the one that's centrally involved. And like he was cooperating with the January 6th committee and then all of a sudden wasn't, but not before he had turned over like a ton of really damning text messages and things like that. I think they're going to try to pin it on him because he basically is like Trump's right hand in the White House. And so, and he seemed to be involved with a lot of these folks. Now, I don't know what Mark Meadows has done to inoculate him against that potential level of scrutiny. I'll be curious to see if he receives a target letter. Again, there's no news one way or the other because he's not one to be like Trump and fucking announce it to the world before the DOJ does.
Right.
So we'll see. It's like I said, it's going to be interesting. I think the thing that makes me the most nervous, and I know we're going to talk about this in a second, I would wonder if they're going to be able to bring this, even if they do get an indictment relatively soon, if they're going to be able to bring this to trial well before a potential 2024 election bid for him.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a good question. And that actually leads right into the next part. I don't know if you actually had a chance to read the story. It's another Salon article. We're apparently sponsored by them this week. experts say Jack Smith's latest move means Trump can't use Judge Cannon to prevent pre-election trial. So basically the article kind of sums up. So Judge Cannon is Eileen Cannon is the judge and general MAGA idiot judge appointed by Trump who is overseeing the documents case, right? Mm-hmm. And Trump has, as of last week, Trump's lawyers have been like, hey, why don't you just set an indefinite date for us to start that trial? Like, I don't know, 20, go fuck your mom, right? Like that's like, just not now, not ever. You can start it the day after I die. How about that, right? And
Or January 21st, 2025. So that if he does win the election, he doesn't have to worry about it.
Yeah, like, I can knock this shit out, right? And if you set it for January 21st, 2025, I'll just block that if I'm, for some reason, lose, which I think that he will. So, which is sadly not a guarantee. But so he's asking for sort of like, just whenever, like, don't ever set a date. Okay. I just don't want to do this. And because he's kind of pulled the shenanigans, the sort of consortium of, lawyers, what do they call themselves? I forget what they are. It's like a bunch of like prosecutors. They just basically were like, listen, this is their thoughts on this, right? And they said, basically, they think that Jack Smith, the reason this indictment or this charge letter was dropped on Trump and the reason why an indictment for January 6th is coming is because Jack Smith knows that there's a possibility that the other case is going to be held up. So here's the second probe. Why don't we bring the indictment? Because they were going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Bring the indictment for this now, right? For Trump and all these other D-bags. Bring that indictment and that goes to federal court, but that goes to federal court in D.C. And apparently D.C. judges who have dealt with all the January 1st assholes are like, nah, yo, we're kind of sick and tired of all this. Like the quote is, most judges in D.C. are used to and fed up with Trump's maneuvers and sensitive to the need for to move quickly. Like they've done all the January 6th cases rapidly. Like they're not in the business of dragging this shit on for years and years and years. They want to get it done. So if Cannon does decide to do Trump's bidding in the documents case in Florida, that's fine. They haven't Jack Smith and his team have another avenue in DC to go after him before the election, which I think is pretty smart.
He
also has New Jersey too.
Weirdly, this also might spur Cannon to not try to delay the trial indefinitely because judges are all egotistical narcissists and don't like to be superseded by any other courts, even other courts in the same jurisdiction as them. So this hopefully might, and Jack Smith was already planning on suggesting a delayed trial date to, like, not as delayed as Trump wants it to be, but delayed to like December, to try to cut off Trump's lawyers from being like, hey, just delay this till whenever. Like he was trying to be accommodating, be like, yeah, this way they have time to review classified documents and this, that, or the other thing, and then we should be good to go. And it kind of undercuts Trump's lawyers' abilities to be like, well, you know, this is going to take, you know, so long, and you know, who knows when we'll be ready, really? Like, you know, who can say?
Who can say?
20, yeah, when you're
29. I don't
know. So it's gonna be interesting. Again, I don't know what his other set of lawyers that are going to be fighting the DC charges have to think about this yet. So hopefully they took retainers up front if they're smart.
Hope so. I mean, dude, like, this isn't, and I hate to say this, but like, this isn't Mueller, man. Like, you were like, and I feel like Trump and his team are forgetting that the Mueller trial, or the Mueller situation never went to trial, but the Mueller situation wasn't really Mueller's fault. Mm-hmm. Like, he was fighting with basically both arms tied behind his back and still got pretty goddamn far. But at the end of the day, you were still president. And so you still controlled the Justice Department. You still held, you know, the ability to kill this thing in the crib anytime you wanted. And eventually they did. You have no power. Like, you have none. And you're still operating like you do. And that, I mean, ironically, that's the whole reason why the documents case exists. But like, you're a citizen, my man. Like, you don't have any power anymore. Like, you have power to, like, motivate people because they like you personally for some fucking reason, but you have no political, like, actual political power. So
yeah, but he arguably has a power more powerful than political power, and that's rich white guy power
in the judicial system. Yes, that's true.
Yeah,
it's basically untouchable. But I feel like they are still living in this very weird place where they think, oh, this is like the Mueller trial. Like, we'll just, or the Mueller situation, like, we'll just stonewall it and kind of push them around everything else. It's like, you have no power here, dude. Like, you can't tell, like, yeah, you got lucky and got that judge again that fucking sucks that you put on the bench. But there's going to come a time that you're going to hit a judge that you didn't put on the bench.
By the way, like, speaking of that, I understand that we're in uncharted waters here. This is a bit of an unprecedented situation, since this is really the first time a former president's been indicted of criminal charges. I would think that there's a conflict of interest in Eileen Cannon adjudicating anything having to do with Donald Trump, considering that he's the reason that she's there.
I can't believe you're saying this out loud. I really can't. Go ahead. You're hoping that you would.
No, I'm not hoping. Like, I know she won't, but she should recuse herself. Like how can you claim with a straight face? And you're not like a Supreme Court justice who can say dumb shit like this all the time. Like, you're just a regular district court federal judge. I'm sorry. Like, if the dude, like if someone gives you a promotion, and then someone's like, hey, you gonna dime this dude out? You'd think twice about it, right? Because like there's a bit of loyalty that you have there.
Brad, she is an impartial judge.
Okay.
She's just doing what judges do. Just balls and strikes, Brad. Just balls and strikes. Yeah.
I can't remember who said it the other day, but I heard on some podcast, you know, talking about judges calling balls and strikes. Like, we see how many, like, we see how accurate, like, major league umpires are at calling balls and strikes. Like, they're not as accurate as you'd like them to be. So maybe that analogy should be sidelined.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah, it is really hilarious. If there was ever a thing that I would fundamentally change about the judicial system, it would be that every case brought before a lawyer, before a judge, at least on the federal bench, there was a panel that said, like, a three person panel that was like, okay, we've looked at all of the, you know, the connections between you and this person. You have to recuse yourself, right? It should not be a self-recusal because it means nothing, especially when you get to the Supreme Court. It means nothing.
Yeah.
There's no one to tell you there's, you can't be as corrupt as fuck.
There's two problems with your idea. Number one, I don't think you can do it for every federal case because there's too many. Like that would backlog stuff. Like maybe high profile cases, or if someone, or if one of the sides in the case had a history in politics, maybe you have that panel. But the other problem with your idea is that that panel would almost certainly be comprised of former judges, and they protect their own. Because who would you put on that panel otherwise?
I don't know, man. Robots? I don't know.
Like, yeah, you're ChatGPT.
Yeah, just
like, is it is there possible? Like, here's all the facts, ChatGPT. Is it possible that this judge could possibly have a bias in this case? And let ChatGPT decide.
You know what? I'm fine with that. Like, at this point, it couldn't be worse than the situation we have. Right? Like, we would actually get some recusals, for fuck's sake. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, if I recall, like a company or something that one of a, it might have been Clarence Thomas or something like that. Like,
oh no, it was Alito. Like the dude that took Alito on the fishing trip, like his hedge fund had business before the Supreme Court, not once, not twice, but six times. Yeah, after he
never recused himself.
Yeah. Because he's an arrogant piece of shit, and how dare you question his impartiality, you piece of crap, Jay.
Right. Well, I mean, that's fair.
That's the thing that gets me is like,
the
when people were, attitude. You know, like going to Clarence Thomas and being like, hey, like, you know, your wife was heavily involved in this January 6th thing. Maybe you've recused yourself for this, for ruling on this. And not only are they like, you know, they could be like, yeah, you know, I understand where you're coming from, but I'm telling you, like this doesn't affect my ability. No, they get fucking mad about it. They're like, how dare you? You know, how dare you even suggest such a thing? Like, it's insane, yeah, to me.
Like, dude, you're human. Like, right. It's your wife. Your wife is involved. You should definitely, you cannot have an unbiased opinion. And look, everybody has a biased opinion on any sort of hot button issues. Everybody has, they come with their own shit, but like, dude, your wife's involved. He's like, right. Nah, don't worry about it.
And to get back to Judge Cannon, like her in particular, like she's already done this once. Right. Like she's already made what can be construed as a biased ruling, yes, against Trump or for Trump.
For him.
That got thoroughly smacked down by the Ninth Circuit, that were just like, what the fuck are you doing? Like this is the dumbest shit that I've ever seen. Like after that, how is it not a thing?
Yeah. I mean, again, the removal of federal judges should be I don't want to say easy, but it should be a little bit easier than it is. I mean, it's gotten out of hand. And yeah, we're just low, because the more divided the country becomes, the more insane the judges become, right? Like they are not, you know, they're not outside of the, you know, the sphere of influence.
Well, and having such a high standard,
all of them, I mean, Republicans, like quite literally, they're just all
having such a high standard worked fine when judges actually made decisions based on interpretation of the law. But the problem is that now, especially right-wing judges are making decisions based on politics.
Vibes.
Yeah.
It's the vibes, Brad. Are the vibes conservative enough? Yeah, then the vibes are good. That's it. Fucking politics by vibes only. So, yeah, I think the speedy trial is going to happen. The question is, will it be for January 6th or will it be for the documents case? We don't know.
Yeah. I think at least one of them happens before the election. So.
Yeah, and also this argument of like they're just trying to knock Trump out of the election. I'm like, you know, I don't think that's going to affect how shitty he's going to be during this election, to be honest.
No.
Look, in a way, I don't know why they're actually mad about it, because he's going to just use it as a stepping ladder to talk shit, right? Like, mm-hmm. they're after me. It's not about me. It's about you type of bullshit. And if they can come after me, they can come after you. I'm like, one, I never try to coordinate a, you know, massive attack on the Capitol. But you know, sure, whatever. Could be me, I guess.
Nor have you hoarded classified documents that you then took with you to your new overseas destination.
I haven't said that out loud, but sure, if that's what you
want to believe. Yeah. So what do you tell me? I'm gonna call it a secret tip to DHS to let them know. Like, hey,
listen, Brad, it's not fair. I was having dinner with my family tonight, and I received horrifying news. I received a target letter from Jack Smith's team. But yeah, it's, you know, it's just kind of, it's curious, right? It's very curious as to what his arguments are going to be, because I see what his arguments are on social media. They're stupid and they're for idiots, right? Like, I mean, let's get real. They're for people who don't understand. They're for people who don't understand the law. They're for people who listen to him and think that what he is saying is genuine and serious. And then there's like reality for everyone else who goes, yeah, dude, what you're saying doesn't make any sense. I mean, I saw a clip of a stump speech with him. Mm-hmm. He's like, former presidents are allowed to have unfettered access. I was like, no, they're not. You're just straight lying.
You know, and by the way, you know who refutes that claim? Donald Trump on that tape.
Right, because he's like, how does Hillary Clinton have this stuff? I'm like, dude, it, like, okay, you're saying, or how does, you know, Joe Biden have this stuff? Like, if you're arguing that you should have unfettered access, why are you making a big deal about Joe Biden having anything? Nice. Well, he had stuff in his garage. Okay, he was a former vice president. He's now the president, by the way. Like, what is your argument?
Well, and again,
Obama stole stuff. Then why do you keep calling it stealing? If it's not stealing, like, you can't even make your own arguments because they don't make sense.
Well, and again, because history, it repeats itself. It's not the crime. It's the cover up that fucked him. Like, if he just handed him back, no harm, no foul.
Dude, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Known about it. Like, we wouldn't have even known about it. Like, that might have been something like some like weird sort of side note of history. Like, well, it turns out Donald Trump had like a ton of documents, right. And then he returned them and, you know, people weren't happy about it, but it was fine. Like, okay, like, I don't really give a shit. Like, all right, they got it. Did they get the documents? Yeah, all right, moving on. Incidentally, it's not on the docket, but I just saw a couple of blurbs about this. Apparently, Israel had a couple of their antiquities at the White House while he was president. Like, here's some old Israeli stuff, right? He straight stole them. And they're at Mar-a-Lago, and Israel's like, can we have our stuff back? And it's like, new phone, who dis? You won't get it back. So I guess, you know, I guess the Mossad is
he's gotta hang on to him as a Barney chip to make sure that Bibi is gonna, you know, fight hard for him to get reelected, like it wasn't gonna happen that way anyway. So,
oh my god, stop putting that guy in power, for the love of Christ. How many times are you going to do this? How many times are you going to get kicked in the face by the same horse, man? It's like, stop. They can't help themselves. They love that guy. Well, the right wing down there loves that guy.
Yeah.
Next up, fake electors officially charged in Michigan by the state's attorney general. This is dope.
Yeah.
Give me more.
Yet another reason why elections do actually matter.
They do, in fact. Local state elections, by the way, state elections. Mm-hmm. Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel, she has brought charges against 16 Republican activists who signed papers after the 2020 election, falsely indicating that they were duly appointed presidential electors for the state. The case filed by the Attorney General represents the first criminal charges related to efforts by allies of former Donald Trump to designate alternative slate of electors. The scheme would ultimately become the basis of Trump's last-ditch bid to remain in power. Some would-be electors and their allies have said that the alternative slate were part of a contingency plan intended to buttress other legal moves by Trump to challenge the 2020 election results. However, those legal challenges famously fizzled out in court, leaving those who signed the documents and others who organized the efforts facing investigation and potential legal jeopardy. It appears that when you join a party called the Leopards Eat My Face, they do, in fact, eat your face. Good. Look, do I want to see these 16 people put in jail? Probably. Do I find it necessary? No. Do I want them to flip and give details on all the people above them who told them to do it? Absolutely.
Well, and that's the thing. Like all this is going to portend is just the throwing under the bus of as many people as they can as these people try to save their own skin.
Yeah. Get the greyhounds running, my man, to start tossing people under the bus. And look, this is a Rudy Giuliani special. Get the low guys and roll them right up to the crime boss, right? Like, this is what you do. They didn't come up with this idea on their own.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't come up with this idea just in Michigan, right? So you have other states that have done this. Now, all that tells, I mean, the most obvious answer is that was coordinated from a federal level. And who was that coordinated by? Probably John Eastman, Rudy Giuliani, Donald Trump, and God knows whoever else, Roger Stone, whomever else, right? But that's coordinated by the people higher up. This is the first step in exactly what we've been talking about for months, which is if you want to get to those big guys, start grabbing these no-name idiots who don't want to spend the rest of their lives in prison. Guess what? If I'm one of those 16 people, hey, you've been indicted. Cool. What do you need to know? So I can go home. I'll tell you everything. Rudy Giuliani had this type of cream cheese on his bagel the day he came down and said some terrible shit to us and got us to do this shit. I will tell you everything. He was wearing blue pants. Like, I'll have to give you any details of that day. And that's what you should do. Like, if I'm one of those 16 people, man, this is not worth being loyal. Like, it's not. These people will get thrown directly under the bus if they don't do the throwing first. So get moving.
Yep.
So I love it. Look, Democrats all over the country are figuring this shit out. Play hardball, man. Don't play patty cakes with these guys. Play fucking hardball. That's how you win. Stop being nice. Do your job. Speaking of not being nice, I kind of love this too. Democrats planning major push to unseat Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, and even Rick Scott of Florida in 2020.
Rick Scott is 70.
Yeah, it's time to go.
He actually looks I mean, it's the alien head that confuses me, but he actually looks like not that old. Considering,
yeah, I mean, I assume he lives in some sort of Lazarus pit
or a pod of some kind.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense. That guy, I mean, he speaks parcel tongue, right? Like, right? That's without a doubt. That's a Harry Potter joke for you fucking not dorks. Brad got it immediately.
I've never read any of the books or seen any of those movies in their entirety.
Okay. I would be shocked. And this is not a slam at all. I would be shocked if your wife has not read those books.
Or she has. She absolutely has. Oh,
okay. All right. Yes. I was like,
she owns them all on hardcover before she found out that J.K. Rowling is a terrible human being. So
yeah, I mean, that's fair. But okay, I was going to say, I think I know your wife good enough to know. I'm like, all right, somebody in that household.
she is a certified Potterhead. Yes.
Yes. I love those stories. They're very good. I mean, J.K. Rowling's a piece of garbage, but like, those stories are good. Yeah, so look, it's a total of 33 out of 100 U.S. Senate seats are up on the ballot in 2024. Dems are like, look, we could try to knock out these three big dogs. Again, Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, and Rick Scott. Is that effort worth it? Is the juice worth the squeeze, you think?
Well, so it's not, I mean, and you can walk and chew gum at the same time. So like, obviously you need to hold serve on the seats that you already have, because this is the 2018 folks essentially, which if I recall correctly, did not go the Democrats' way while Trump was in the White House. Got better, but it didn't fully flip. So you still got to make sure. And I think there's like 20 seats that are current democratically held seats and three independents, which are basically Democrats as well, that you have to hold on to. So, you know, only 10 seats are Republican seats that are up.
Right.
I think you're not going to get all three. I think that the most vulnerable is probably Josh Hawley, because he's made a negative name for himself. Plus, when he won the seat, he took it from a Democrat. So it's not, I mean, Missouri is a pretty red state at this point, but it's not out of the realm of possibility that they could,
right,
you know, vote in a Democrat still.
You think they could take down Ted Cruz?
I mean, look, that we've heard the hype over the past, 2018, Beto seemed to stand a good chance. And even he only got within
3 points,
a number of points. Yeah.
And that's what the article talks about, is that they're going after Cruz because it's like within three is like doable.
It's doable.
Like Tim Kaine apparently is quoted in the article saying that if Beto had run a more disciplined campaign, he could have probably taken down Ted Cruz. Look, I'll tell you the main reason why Beto lost. Beto was like, yo, we should take the guns. And I was like, in Texas? Look, I'm just saying, like, it's not even something I necessarily disagree with. But look, you got to know your audience. And Texas is not going to be a place that's going to be necessarily open to that.
Right.
Now, granted, he was talking about that off the back of El Paso, which I completely understand, right? Like, that's where that dude is from. All those people were killed. It was fucking horrible. I agree with him 100%. But that had to have done damage to him to get people to come out even bigger for Ted Cruz. Not necessarily like pro Ted Cruz, because no one in their right mind is necessarily pro Ted Cruz, but I could see them being like, we don't need a senator talking about taking our guns. Like, you need a guy who comes across as like a good dude, or a woman, comes across as a good person in Texas, all the things that Beto has, charming and all that other shit. But like, yeah, I'm fine with guns. Like, I feel like if you could just do that, but like, I'm for like reasonable gun control, then I think they have a chance to beat them. And apparently there's like a former NFL player who
probably... So Colin Aldred has been in the House since 2018. So he's probably the primary challenger. The only thing is that I don't know who, what voters Colin Aldred peels off that Beto couldn't get. You know, maybe there's a couple folks, you know, because he used to play football, so you know, some lizard brain idiots will be like, oh, he's great, he's tough, you know, I'm gonna vote for him. But at the same time, he's black, so I feel like that there's a lot of fucking racist people in Texas that are gonna be like, I'm not voting for a black guy.
Yeah, they're duh, of course.
Yeah,
I can pretend that's not a factor, right? But apparently, like, according to Politico, Colin Aldred has raised $6.2 million at the end of last month. It took Beto's campaign 9 months to raise the same amount.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty impressive, right?
Well, I think that speaks to the building momentum behind unseating a Republican in Texas. I mean, the thing that you have to remember is that a Republican, or I should say a Democrat, has not won a statewide election in Texas since 94.
84.
Right. No, not 94, when Ann Richards was the governor.
No, it says Democrats have not won a Senate seat.
She was the governor, so right. I'm just looking at statewide races, period.
Yeah, but Senate, they haven't won a Senate seat since 1988.
Yeah. I almost feel like a statewide Democrat has to break through in Texas for the levy to finally break there, because I feel like people almost need like a permission structure to get behind Democrats statewide.
Yeah. I think the Senate is a good place to start.
Yeah.
I think Ted Cruz is beatable. I think Ted Cruz has a similar problem to what's his face? Ron DeSantis has, which is he has no personality.
I would dispute that only because Ted Cruz at least did something that Ron DeSantis probably will never be able to do, and that's win a primary election for the presidential race as a Republican. Because people forget he won Iowa in 2016.
Yeah. Oh, that's very true. He has a very religious vibe to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has pushed him up further than maybe DeSantis could get. Also, Ted Cruz is actually pretty smart. He's pretty goddamn smart. He's a schmarmy asshole, but he's very intelligent.
And I gotta say, he proves the theory true that even though his beard kind of sucks, every dude does look better with a beard. Like his face looks eminently less punchable than it does when he was clean shaven.
Yeah, but he's got like a Chester A. Arthur thing going on, which I'm not okay with.
Yeah, I mean, again, don't get me wrong, it's not a good beard, and I feel like that I'm authority enough to be able to speak on the quality of one's beard.
You are, in fact.
So it's not a good beard, but even a bad beard, as long as it's not like a train wreck, and I don't think his beard is a train wreck. Even a bad beard is better than no beard at all.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah,
that's fair. I don't like his face. I think that's true. I think that's my biggest problem with him.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, clean shaven Josh Hawley needs to go. I hate that guy. I really do. He's kind of trying to lean heavy into this like manosphere, like real men do X type of bullshit. And that type of shit really rubs me the wrong way, just because I think it's shallow and pathetic and actually hurts men. It does not help them. But what do I know? I've only been a man my entire life. and when I think about what a real man looks like, I feel like Josh Hawley could really get his ass kicked by most of them. So like, no, I'm not buying it. I don't like it. Look, I think they should go after him. I think they should go after Hawley, and I think they should go after Cruz. But the article does make the point, which is what you said as well, which is you can walk and chew gum at the same time. Like, they're not putting all their eggs in one basket and saying like they got to beat these guys to get the Senate. Like, they're going after a bunch of people. But I do think they should be like, you know what? We're not going to just let you fucking sit there. Like, the more you drag those guys out into deeper waters, the more the Republican Party has to spend money to defend them. And that's a good thing for you.
And I think looking for pickup opportunities is also very important, because two of the seats the Democrats are defending in this Senate race are in Montana and West Virginia. So like West Virginia, you might as well write that. Like, if Joe Manchin decides he doesn't want to run for Senate, you might as well write that one off. Like, it's gone. Yeah. And then Montana is going to be tough because, you know, John Tester, like, that is a staunchly Republican state. And John Tester kind of, you know, operates against the grain a little bit. Like, he's a palatable Democrat to folks out there, and he's popular out there. But again, it's a staunchly red state, and they will be trying to tie John Tester to Biden as much as possible. Now, turns out might not be a disadvantage, as we'll talk about that later in the show. But they will do their damnedest to paint John Tester as a socialist, which is very funny to me to think of the John Democrat Tester from Montana being a socialist.
A raving socialist. John Tester. Oh, yeah. It's like it's Lenin and then John Tester.
John, I don't know if you've ever heard John Tester in interviews and stuff like that. He's actually a really sharp guy. I don't
think he's a bad dude at all.
Yeah, I actually like John Tester a lot. Obviously, I don't think he's nearly as progressive as I would like, but I think that he's a thoughtful individual, and I think that even on positions that I disagree with him, like I understand like where he's coming from with those positions, and he has good arguments to stand on them.
I mean, here's the thing, like, you got to know your audience, right? Like, that's a big thing in politics, and a lot of people often forget that. I mean, you could say, well, that seems to be what's going on with Joe Manchin. Yeah, but then he also forgets, like, he also has an audience as, like, Democratic voters. Like, other people in the Senate that he's on the same team with, right? So, like, but you have to know your audience. So even if he is more even if Tester is more progressive, there are certain things he can't be more progressive on. He can try to slow roll those things, sure, but he can't be as, like, he can't be Bernie Sanders of Montana. Like, it just doesn't work.
No,
it's just fundamentally not possible. Not, well, it's possible, but you can't keep your job.
That's correct. Yes.
That's how it goes. Next up, the title, I may have embellished a little bit. having the personality of a wet rock isn't helping him. apparently Ron DeSantis' campaign isn't doing well. The presidential campaign is in a death spiral after only 2 months. I wish I could say that every day, all day. It makes my teeth whiter. So apparently, like, the money is drying up, and
yeah, it's not good.
People are like, the billionaire class is not impressed by a guy who clearly, like, they didn't have HD video of, because I could have told you that months and months ago.
It's funny because anecdotally, what's talked about is that, like, donors are, like, really gung-ho behind DeSantis until they talk to him. And then all of a sudden, like, they're just like, get me the fuck away from this guy. which, you know, I gotta tell you, running for president, I don't feel like that is a good thing to have happen. If people run away from you after listening to you speak.
It isn't. That's not a good one. It's not. It really isn't. I just think it's not surprising.
Yeah.
That his campaign is dying. Look, this guy sucks. His biggest thing is he has no personality. Mm-hmm. Charisma matters, even when you're a dick. Even when you're a dick. A dickhead's got some level of charisma. Trump is a reprehensible piece of shit. But man, he has charisma that draws people to him. Whether you agree with his policies, obviously we don't. But he does have something about him that draws people to him. And DeSantis does not.
So it's one thing for, like, if being as DeSantis is so just doesn't have the riz, as the kids say nowadays, that, like, that's the new term that the kids say is on his riz. So since DeSantis is lacking riz, how did he win the Republican primary when he won his first gubernatorial election? Like, who is he up against that couldn't, that's, you know, take question. This dude down?
Again, a bigger wet rock. I don't know. You know, it's funny because I feel like when you're running, like, I think one of, like, DeSantis has never had much of a personality, but I think he was kind of like a kind of a regular Republican, right? Like, oh, these are my policies and balancing the budget and, you know, getting rid of useless spending and everything else. And, you know, that speaks to Republicans in Florida, and they're like, all right, this guy seems like a pretty, like, down the ballot type of guy. But the problem is, when you realize that he doesn't have a personality, you're like, well, he's just doing the stuff that other boring Republicans do. It's okay. But then when you're going up against Disney, and you're going up against the woke mind virus, or whatever the fuck words actual adults don't use seriously, those two topics, you gotta have a little bit of riz. You do, right? Like, if you're gonna take on Disney, and you're like, they're corrupting our kids and blah blah blah, you gotta have some fucking oomph behind that where people go, yeah, all right, I'm on this guy's page, right? Like, we're going after them. They're trying to take down our kids. Like, you got to have something behind that where people feel like they're running to your side. And you're like this morally sound character, and Disney is evil or whatever. But he doesn't have that, right? He doesn't have enough to pull you in. And then going after, like, well, wokeism or whatever, that made him sound even sillier, right? Because he's like, we got to stop woke. And he talks about it constantly. Because it's just a buzzword, but it sounds ridiculous.
Did you hear about the latest example of this, by the way?
Oh, no.
So Farmers Insurance, the insurance company, pulled out of Florida.
Yeah.
They stopped selling insurance in Florida because they're like, climate change is getting really bad, and the current government is doing nothing to fucking impede it in any way, shape, or form. So, from a business standpoint, it does not make sense for us to operate in the state anymore. And instead of, like, taking that as, like, a holy shit moment and, like, maybe we should do something here, what did he do? Oh, like, Farmers Insurance is trying to push their woke agenda on Florida's residents, and good riddance to bad rubbish. Like, we're not, you know, don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out, Farmers Insurance. And I'm like, bro, like, they're not going to be the only ones.
No, that's a canary in the coal mine situation.
Yeah.
Like I remember reading that a couple of weeks ago. A friend of mine sent me that and he was like, have you seen this story? I was like, oh, this isn't good.
No, because again, businesses, their prime objective, we've talked about many times, is to make money. And believe me, they will stay in whatever terrible situation they can if there's money to be made. The fact that an insurance company is like, we will lose money if we stay here,
yep,
should be a huge wake-up call to people in the state of Florida. But again, because everything that's negative he tries to deflect onto wokeism, he's just gonna just fucking leave these dudes behind in their swamp.
Yep. Okay, bro. Like,
which? Oh no, the consequences of my actions. How dare you make me face them? Yeah. But
how the turntables have? Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's just he has latched on to a phrase and he doesn't know how to let go because in reality, those born Republican policies aren't enough anymore. Right. Mm-hmm. Those born Republican policies didn't work for Donald Trump. That's why he doesn't deal with him at all. He traffics in fucking sensationalism, right? And he found his sensational topic. And now he's like, I got to keep hitting this shit. I got to keep hitting this dopamine drip as much as I can to hopefully get Republicans on board. The problem is you've done like, what is that term? I don't remember what the term is. It's like when you say a word over and over again, and then it kind of loses meaning. Right. Right. Like just in your brain until it kind of like flushes out. Like if you just say grapes like over and over again, you're like, this word is weird and it doesn't make any sense. Right. Like that's what he's done with wokeism as far as two Republicans. He's used it so much that it doesn't, they're just like, all right, they're starting to tune out. Mm-hmm. Right. Like there's diehards who are like, yeah, woke farmers insurance. Bum, 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 bum. Right. Like those guys. But on average, I think most people are just like, dude, you call everything woke. If everything is woke, then nothing's woke. Right. Like, and so they're starting to tune out and they're going, well, what is everyone else saying? Oh, Donald Trump is on his fucking wild shit. Hell yeah. Give me that shit. I remember that. I enjoyed that last time. Right. Like he's still on his same grind, or they're going off to these other candidates. I mean, there's reports now that DeSantis is coming out. He's like, well, you know, I've got these comments about, you know, like Nikki Haley and like of these other people who are running. I'm like, dude, those are not the people you need to get by in this race. You got to talk about Donald Trump because he can't, because
right.
He doesn't want to piss him off, his viewer or his fanatics off and stuff like that. So like he doesn't know where his place is. And I've long said this. While this was his year to run, he probably shouldn't have run this year. Like he shouldn't have.
Because I don't think we realized the extent of when we were saying like, hey, he should definitely do it. Like I don't think we realized the extent of a little DeSantis goes a long way. And just
yeah,
like
no, having, that's
to,
true.
More, no having to be more and more exposed to him. It's like, oh, like this guy, he's not good. Like I remember there was a video a couple months ago of him like doing retail politicking in New Hampshire, and just he's so awkward. He walked up to dude and he's like, oh, what's your name? And dude's like, Steve. And he's like, okay. I'm just like, what? No, nice to meet you. No handshake. Like, oh, you know, good to see you, Steve. Like, no, just like, you know, what's your name? Okay.
All right, we're done here. Does anybody want a blizzard? Like, oh,
I never thought we'd see a especially in a retail setting. I never thought we'd see a politician that makes Ted Cruz look positively human, and yet here comes Ron DeSantis onto the scene.
Okay, so let me ask you a question.
Yeah,
is the inability to appear normal?
Mm-hmm.
Is it just impossible for Republicans just because they're just not fucking cool? And I don't mean like cool. By the way, I don't mean cool as in like hip. I mean, just like chill, man. Like, you know, like it feels like they don't understand what it is to operate in the real world. It's very strange to me.
Let me tell you something. So, and I can't believe I'm going to actually go to bat for Ron DeSantis a little bit here. So fucking mark this on your time card.
Oh, I will.
I think the problem is that Ron DeSantis is just kind of an introvert and like is not really comfortable in these situations because like I'm making fun of Ron DeSantis.
I mean, I'm glad he got the job he has.
Believe you me, if I were in the same position, I'd probably be reacting in very similar ways because I don't like talking to people, especially people I don't know. Now, knowing this, I'm not going to go ahead and run for president, like because that seems like a fucking terrible idea. But I think Ron DeSantis just doesn't really like people all that much. Which I'm simpatico. Like I get you, my brother. Like we are what we are, two of a kind in that sense. God. But maybe if you're not a big fan of people, you don't run for like the most fucking people meeting job that exists on the planet, arguably.
Hi, Brad. What's your name? Steve. Okay.
Cool. Out of your eye reaction. Cool.
Good for you. Your parents seem awesome. But yeah, I don't think that's crazy. I don't think that's a crazy analysis. But you're right. Like, then why are you trying this job? Like, this isn't for you, man.
I almost feel like, and I don't think he was, because I think he wanted to do it, but I almost feel like the zeitgeist was so built up around him in conservative media that he's so. Like, I have to run. Like I don't have a choice. Yeah, like, no, I have to do this.
No, I think that's exactly right. Like, dude, this is your first, like, you just became governor.
Didn't just become governor. Been governor for 6 years.
Almost. Has it been 6 years?
Yeah, 2018, man. 2018.
What are we doing? Time doesn't exist. Okay, fair enough. Like, it feels like it's been like 3 years. Or a lifetime, I guess, maybe. Yeah. Whichever. But like, it's just, yeah, I think you're probably right. I think he is a massive introvert, and I don't think that works well. Like, the like, you have to have that charisma, man, to be president. You just do. Look, love him or hate him, you know, Democrats or Republicans, the presidents that people connect with, I'm not saying like they are good presidents, but the people connect with, they have a lot of charisma. Barack Obama had charisma coming out of his gigantic ears, right?
Like, and it's funny because I think Obama is also a little introverted as well, but he's good at faking it. He's good at faking it.
Which is the difference. I think he is. Like, I think he's a bit of an introvert. But we also know that he played like college sports, right? So that you kind of learn to be, if he is naturally an introvert, you kind of have to learn to be a bit of an extrovert, right? In those kind of settings. He also did a lot of, you know, public speaking in college and stuff like that. So he has learned the skill, right? Because you can learn the skill to, you know, because basically, by the way, introvert and extrovert doesn't necessarily, people often misunderstand what that means, right? Not like, I don't like talking to people ever, right? Like, that's not what an introvert necessarily is. It's just that there are people, when you're generally introverted, you sort of get, you don't get your energy from others. You get your
Let me put it to you another way. When I'm in a situation where there's a lot of people that I have to talk to that either A, I don't know that well, or B, that I'm just not particularly close to, I want to like collapse and fall asleep at the end of
it. Draining.
Yeah, and like it completely zaps any energy out of me. Like my wife literally asks me, like, before getting going, like how's your battery? Like today, like, how's your social battery?
Yeah, because, that's a good question.
Yeah, because she knows, like, I only have so much juice in me to give to that conversation before, because it's exhausting. Because I fucking like the banal small talk and that kind of bullshit. Now, again, not with my friends, like, you know, people that different. I actually like I have all the time in the world for. But just like banal small talk bullshit, like it's meaningless to me. So I'm just like, oh, fucking God, like, this is so terrible.
Today on this episode, you learned that Brad has referred to Ron DeSantis as his brother, and that he has the same theory on a personal battery as Donald Trump. Wow, we're learning a lot. We're learning a lot about it. Crazy. Like, see, but I'm very much an extrovert, so I get energy from interacting with people and stuff like that, like to an extent, right? Like everybody, people,
there's degrees.
People are rarely 100% in one direction, because there comes a time where I'm just like, I would rather throw myself off of the closest cliff than to talk to these people anymore, right? Like
meanwhile, our wives are like, I'm pretty sure your wife is more extroverted than you, and mine is the complete polar opposite of me.
My wife is an off the chart extrovert. She is, to the point where I'm like, please stop talking to them. We have a place to go. It's like, you just met this person 13 seconds ago, right? So, and your wife is too, right? Yeah. But either way, it would be incredibly difficult to run for president if you are a person who's like, this is draining for me to talk to strangers. And they're like, by the way, you got 32 more diners to hit today, right, Ron?
Yeah, that's the irony. Like we always make the joke on the show all the time. Like, I'm gonna run for office and Jay's gonna be my chief of staff. In reality, it would probably be the opposite. No, I think 100%. I think we just make the joke because I'm a white man. Therefore, more likely you'll get further.
Well, you could just take phone calls, and then I'll just do the phone calls since everyone says I'm white. Like, it'll be fine. Like the Cyrano de Bergerac of politics situation. Like, oh, you don't sound like you do on the phone. Well, the landlines are bad.
These damn cell phones.
Yeah.
Connections all goofy.
Yeah, we got to work on infrastructure. By the way, I can help with that. Right? So, yeah, Ron DeSantis is fucked, man. Look, I don't know if it's going to rock him completely out of the race, but it ain't looking good.
And he's gonna hang in until the primary start, for sure. I think he's in it until Super Tuesday at is the earliest that he would drop out. And that's if he just fucking shits the bed completely in the first handful of primaries.
Mm-hmm. I think it's true. Now, look, he could pull a McCain, right? Which is, we thought this guy was fucking done. And then all of a sudden we get to the primaries and his people really rally for him, right? Like it's 100% possible. Like, don't count this guy out. But as of right now, it ain't looking great. Another way that you know it's not looking great is that Rupert Murdoch, who supported Ron DeSantis, is like, I'm out of here. Like, I'm not giving this guy any more money. This guy fucking sucks. But Murdoch has privately told people he wants Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin to enter the race.
Speaking of a dude that just became governor like 2 seconds ago.
Yeah, like, dude, he's barely been there. Okay. It also speaks to the level of viability of other Republicans that you're like, I don't know, why don't we go with the CRT guy from Virginia, right?
Yeah.
He can't think of anyone who's a more established Republican to back.
Who's not already running, right?
Who's not already running.
So. And to be fair to Rupert Murdoch, yeah, I get it. It's not exactly a murderer's row of Republican candidates here.
No, not at all. So it'll be interesting. Like, if the billionaires are leaving DeSantis, where do they go? Right. Like, I feel like if Murdoch and other billionaires start pushing Youngkin, I think he'll get in. If he thinks that he has their backing, I think he would absolutely go for it. Youngkin's interesting. Like, I haven't been following him since he really got into office. Sort of tangentially, just because I have family who lives in Virginia, I hear things about him as far as like just negative stories about him. Because they're Democrats, so like, yeah, that makes sense.
From what I understand, he's kind of like just a worse version of Logan. Like he's somewhat tempered as to what he can do, because it's not like Virginia is like a super gerrymandered state and it's a relatively even split between the two parties in the legislature. But he's trying to do shitty things. Like, unlike Hogan, who knew he couldn't get away with that, like, Youngkin is trying to pass shitty policies, and he's signing some, you know, shitty, like, mostly education stuff into law.
Right. Well, he came in on CRT. Like, that was his
whole big thing. But again, like, he's another guy that just doesn't really have the personality. And you know, I know no one knows who you are until people know who you are, kind of thing. But like right now, like on a national level, I don't think he has a ton of got as much name recognition as like DeSantis did when he first rolled out. So
Yeah, no, I
might be
I
don't a good thing so. In a Republican primary, though, to be quite honest.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we'll see. I'm interested to see if he gets in. I'd rather he didn't, but we'll see. We shall see. All right, Brad. I know that you are a person of intelligence, and you pay attention to things, and your brain does in fact work. So you and I were both more than aware that when Robert F. Kennedy Jr. decided to put his self into the race, that this was a person not to take seriously. Because
I got to tell ridiculous. You, I got to tell you. So like Cheryl Hines always seemed like someone who seemed cool. But now that I know that she's married to this fucking dweebo, like, makes me rethink all of her previous decisions.
Look, anyone associated with this guy is a zero for me. Like, I can't believe that people sit around listening to this guy and like, yeah, this guy's spitting facts.
He seems like a, like, you know who RFK Jr. is? And actually, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not going to call him that anymore. He's Robert F. Kennedy Jr. because he doesn't deserve the acronym.
Yeah, no, he does not.
You know who he is, honestly? And I kind of knew this before, but the story that we're about to talk about really cements it. He is the candidate for the diehard fan of the Joe Rogan Experience. Like that is exactly who that is, the demographic that he is hyper targeted to. Like, do you really fucking love Joe Rogan's podcast? Have I got a presidential candidate for you?
Yeah, like, he believes in nothing but insane conspiracy theories.
Yep.
He's an older guy who's not too good at the talky parts. And he's unreasonably jacked for no reason.
Right. By the way, can I point out the ridiculous irony of a Kennedy being wholly into like the nuttiest conspiracy theories that you could possibly find?
Oh, I thought you were going to say that the idea of a guy who rails against these things that we put into our bodies that are not okay, and it's like, dude, you're on so many steroids, like, it's crazy. Like, you don't know what's going into this. Aren't you on like all of the human growth hormone? Yeah, but I mean, we know what's in it.
Like, and also stuff. like just from a presidential candidate standpoint, like, again, and before we get into this story, like, we're gonna go, you know, I'm going superficial crazy. Level here. This dude sounds like if Alex Jones chain smoked cigarettes for 20 years. Like, that's what his voice sounds like.
No, he sounds okay. This is, it's going to sound mean, but I'm going to need folks to hear me all the way through the end.
Are we past an hour? I think we are.
He is the exact love child of these three people, right? Like, if these three people had a weird orgy, a weird one, okay? He's Alex Jones. Mm-hmm. 100% agree with that. Sherrod Brown for the voice.
Yeah,
right,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
For the gravelly voice. Diane Reams for the, like, the shaky voice, right? Because she had that, like, that situation. He's got all three. Like, that's who he is. If Diane Reams was a graveled voice conspiracy nutbag who does and I cannot emphasize this enough, a shit ton of steroids all at the same time, that would be Robert F. Kennedy Jr. So I want to play this clip. I'm dying to play this clip.
Okay.
This is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. at a private event. He's sitting and talking to a couple people at this table. How they aren't laughing is amazing to me. Like, these people are also clearly insane.
I don't know. So I, like, during this video, I was really looking at the facial reactions of the people around him.
The guy to the left was like, okay, this is bullshit, right?
Like, right. Like, he was completely stone faced and like, I could see his wheels turning, and like, in his head, he's just like, the fuck is this guy talking about? Like, he wasn't like nodding along or anything like that. He was just like sitting there with the same expression, just like questioning his life choices to get him to this exact spot that he was sitting in at that moment in time.
Now, by the way, this is not the private event that many have reported that ended in a large fart.
No, it is. It's the same event.
Is that the same event?
It's the same event. Yeah. Yeah. Apparently this at the same event later on, two dudes were like yelling at each other, and one of them was like fucking farting like really loudly and like yelling about how he was farting really loudly. Like it was literally the fucking Monty Python thing where he's like, I fart in your general direction kind of shit. So.
Dude, I saw, before I play this clip, I saw a tweet. It was like a tweet poll or whatever. God, that platform sucks. and the poll was, if you could only choose between these two candidates, who would you choose? And it was Vivek Ramaswamy and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And so I was like, oh, I want to read the comments, right? Like, surely everyone there is like, these are the two worst candidates. Why would I, or not the worst, but like these two are completely
the two least qualified candidates.
Certainly the least qualified. Yeah. And I mean, shit, the front runner's barely qualified. And every comment is like, yeah, you know, like Vivek is great. And, you know, and, you know, Robert Kennedy Jr. is great. Blah, 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 blah. These are both great men and everything else. One guy's like, I love his stance on COVID. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, wait, you love his stance on COVID? That's not true. That's not true. Come on, man. Every one of the people in that comment section were lunatics. They all like equally all crazy. And it was just funny because one guy was like, he said something to the effect of like, if, like, I like Vivek, but if Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was elected, then he could bring both parties together because Democrats would join up because he's a Kennedy. I was like, Democrats aren't fucking stupid, dude. We understand that this guy is insane.
Is this the right wing version of run a black guy because black people vote for him kind of thing? Yes. Like, oh, all we got to do is put a Kennedy up and Democrats will flock to it.
Like, dude, we listen to what you say out loud. Like, I know you guys just hear a name or see a letter and that's it. Like, we listen, like we'll watch a debate and be like, no, this guy's a fucking moron.
Fucking hell. Like that theory is undermined by the fact that Joe Kennedy lost a Democratic primary in Massachusetts to Ed Markey.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Joe Kennedy.
Yeah.
Like, no, like get the fuck out of here. Like, no, absolutely not. And that guy was super liberal, but he wasn't. Not, you know,
well, he wasn't Ed Markey.
Yeah, life. Nobody tells that guy where to stand. Get out of here. one of the greatest political ads of all. But yeah, it's wild. Like, yo, Democrats aren't stupid. By the way, I have a personal theory. Truly do. It's going to seem crazy. It's going to seem crazy, but go with me, Brad. I think that Donald Trump, and you'll see where this is going quite quickly. I think Donald Trump is well aware of all of the like nutty conspiracy theories surrounding his presidency, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think he knows about them, right? To some level or another. I think that there's a decent chance that he would choose Robert F. Kennedy Jr. for the like John, like, you know, JFK Jr. is thing. Like still alive. I think he'd be like, you know, like, unite the streams type thing.
Yeah.
Like I think, and he would like, I picked a Democrat. Look, that's how much I like work across the aisle. I think he would, because he doesn't give a fuck who his vice president is. It's irrelevant at this point. Mm-hmm. I think that would gin up enough of the bonkers, crazy people, because there's like 11% of Democrats who are like, yeah, they like Robert F. Kennedy.
Yeah. I firmly believe only because like if you run another poll that says, hey, have you heard Robert F. Kennedy speak? It's the same 11% that'd be like, no, I've never heard this guy before, but he's Kennedy. Like,
yeah, like you just heard the name. Like, there's no fucking way that like anyone who's paying attention is like, oh yeah, no, this guy. Like, who the fuck is voting for Democrats every time? It's like, oh yeah, no, this dude is the guy. No, that makes no sense. So yeah, I think Trump is just crazy enough to put Robert F. Kennedy Jr. as his VP.
I think when it comes to him, anything is possible. Yes.
Yep.
Guaranteed.
Like, until recently, I'm like, that's not crazy. That's actually not. Nope. That makes a lot of sense, because I think he would use the idea of like, I work with everybody who's great. Like, that's just what I do. And there would be idiots who would be like, see, like, he would even pick a Democrat. Joe Biden wouldn't pick a Republican. Yeah. Cause Joe Biden's not a moron. Like, that's the difference. And or somebody was making the point, which I also agree with, which is if Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Won the primary, likely story, that he would just bow out.
Here's the next question. What primary?
Yeah, no, like.
Like, there is no Democratic primary. So if Robert F. Kennedy's going to run, it's going to be as an independent. So.
Well, then Joe Biden better watch out because.
Yeah. Dude, yeah, because once everyone hears this really very nuanced, it's very nuanced and informed take on COVID, I'm sure they're going to be flocking to donate money to him.
What an idiot. All right. So here we go. Let's listen to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. at a private event talking about COVID for real. Come on. God damn it. Really? You fucking asshole. God, New York Post, you suck.
Weapons. Well, I know a lot now about bioweapons because I've been doing a book on it for the past 2.5 years. And and you know, the technology that we now have to develop these microbes, we've put hundreds of millions of dollars into ethnically targeted microbes. The Chinese have done the same thing. In fact, COVID-19, there's an argument that it is ethnically targeted. COVID-19 attacks certain races disproportionately. The races that are most immune to COVID-19 are because of the structure of the genetic structure of genetic differentials among different races of the receptors of the ACE2 receptor. COVID-19 is targeted to attack Caucasians and black people. The people who are most immune are Ashkenazi Jews and Chinese. But we don't know whether it was deliberately targeted that or not. But there are papers out there that show the racial and ethnic differential and of impact to that. We do know that the Chinese are spending hundreds of millions of dollars developing ethnic bioweapons, and we are developing ethnic bioweapons. That's what all those labs in the Ukraine are about. They're collecting Russian DNA. They're collecting Chinese DNA so that we can target people by race.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Gotta love how it wasn't enough just to say, like, the Chinese are protecting themselves, but also the Jews.
I mean, Brad, you gotta lean into what you know, right? Like, it's not a conspiracy theory if you can't put a couple of parenthetical references as well.
Yeah, I mean,
he said he didn't say it. He said he didn't say it. He was like, I never said that.
Oh, he did?
Yes. He said, I never said that. It's like, dude, there's a video.
Shut up. Where did he say that?
Yeah, he's been railing against RFK Jews. Great. My search history is awesome. Yeah, Robert F. Kennedy.
False claims. Quote, I do not believe and never implied that the ethnic effect was deliberately engineered. Bro, you literally are implying that both the US and China are engineering ethnically targeted bioweapons. Your words. Exactly.
He never said that. He never said that. He never said it, Brad. I know we just played it, but he never said that. And this is classic gotcha media, you know, taking down an innocent man who is not a person you should call double dribble on. Okay. Like, he's just not, it's unfair. Look, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is not a serious candidate.
No,
he's fundamentally is not a serious candidate. If you believe this nonsense about an ethnically charged, ethnically charged bioweapon for COVID, you're full of shit. Right. And I know people go, well, what about, you know, what about the Tuskegee experience? Yeah. Like, I need you to read. I need you to read. I really do. Don't just listen to something that sounds fantastical and just buy into it because it sounds fantastical. Like, that's just nonsense. It's just complete and utter nonsense. What's really sad is that people listen to this shit and they believe it. But yeah, like, his, oh, I never said it. Like, yo, there's clear clear video of you saying it. We can.
I mean, you'll never go. You'll never go broke by appealing to people's wildest imaginations. Is a thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like if you're a person with some prominence, people want to believe this stuff. It's for the same reason that religion exists. You know what I mean? You want to believe things that aren't understandable or that sound fantastic because that's kind of like a human thing to do, right? And then also, like, he makes it sound authentic. It's like, oh, I read these books and this or the other thing. Like, you know, I know all this stuff. Like, and that's kind of been his shtick for a long time. Mm-hmm. Is that he was all, you know, I read books about how, you know, vaccines cause, you know, autism, and so, like, he's been a crusader against that shit. And so, you know, now that COVID is out and there's vaccines for that, like, he's going to be a crusader against that. Like, that really, at the end of the day, he's just like an anti-vax lunatic.
Yeah, he long has been. It'd be interesting, like, if he ran with Trump, like, Trump came up with this.
Yeah.
You know, or like, it, not Trump came up with it, but this happened under him.
Yeah, the vaccine started rolling out under his watch, so.
Right. But Kennedy said last week, or this week, I guess it was last week, that Trump's debate style is very similar. Yo, I swear to God, I'm not making this up. Is very similar to Abraham Lincoln.
How would you know? How would you know? In all seriousness, like, how the fuck would he know? Did like is he a time traveler now? Like, did he go back to the fucking Lincoln? What was it? The Lincoln? Who did he debate against? The famous debates? I can't remember who.
Lincoln Douglas debates.
Was it? Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, did he fucking go back in time to fucking observe that shit happening? Get the fuck, like, what the fuck, man?
No, like, a lot of people don't know this, but Lincoln used to walk across the stage stalking Douglas the whole time. Like, Douglas was actually on record with saying, "Can you please shut up, man?" Like, it was crazy. Like, it was super weird. RFK says that Trump probably, quote, probably the most successful debater since Lincoln.
I mean, first of all, you're calling him a successful debater, which, you know, again, as we said, after the Republican primary in 2016, you can't really fucking say that anymore.
Yeah. It's like, we're going to try to get the president to debate. This is Kennedy speaking, talking about Biden. We're going to try to get the president to debate. I wouldn't if I were Biden. Fuck off.
No, why the fuck would you give him any legitimacy?
No. We think it's really important. It's important for the Democratic Party because ultimately the president will have to debate a Republican. Yeah, well, if he was debating you, he would be. And likely we don't know, but it's going to be Trump. We don't know, but we know.
Look, I'm going to go out on a limb and just say that I'm pretty sure that if anybody in the world is fully prepared to walk into a debate against a Republican, pretty sure Joe Biden has probably more debate experience under his belt in high stakes situations than literally anybody walking the planet at this point.
Yeah. And if anybody can handle Trump in a debate, it's literally Joe Biden.
Yes. It's the guy who said fucking Paul Ryan crying home to his mommy in 2012.
And literally said a thing that the entire country who don't support don't support Donald Trump had been waiting four years to hear. Man, would you please shut up? Like, dude, I'm telling you, if there was a single moment that won those debates for him, it was that. Like, or won the race for him. Because people were just like, thank you. You are speaking. Like, that was one of those, like, cathartic moments. It's like, dude, we have been screaming this at our televisions for four years. And you said the thing that we, like, Biden needs another one of those moments, right? It can't be, man, shut up. I mean, it could be
just play the hits.
Yeah, play the hits. But it's got to be like, it's got to be something to the effect of like, we just want you to go away. Like, you got to speak to the core of what people are feeling. And like, people want Trump to go away. Like, whether that's jail or leaving this mortal coil, that would also be fine, or anything. They just want him to go away. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, trust me, dancing in the street when Trump dies or is arrested and put in jail will be equally as, like, intense because they just want him to go away. That's it.
Now we've already got the special episode planned. It's going to be great.
Oh, come on. It's like fucking live from my compound. Me with sunglasses on and a sombrero. It's just drinking tequila out of a bottle. Making a real bad decision. All right. This week in stupid, last story of the week. This is all you, Brad.
Yeah. So
so good.
Turning Point USA had one of their events this past weekend, and one of the keynote speakers was Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's all of a sudden become a real bigwig, formerly of the Freedom Caucus, Marjorie Taylor Greene. And
do you want me to play this?
Oh, please do. I would love you to.
Okay.
Yeah, I would absolutely. So basically, she gave up and gave a speech, and I shit you not, that the Biden campaign, the Biden White House, took this speech unedited and put it into a campaign ad that they ran on Twitter a number of hours ago.
Yep. All right, here you go.
But Joe Biden had Build Back Better, and he still is working on it. The largest public investment in social infrastructure and environmental programs that is actually finishing what FDR started, that LBJ expanded on, and Joe Biden is attempting to complete. Socialism. Meanwhile, we are now $32 trillion in debt. With record high homelessness, 40-year record inflation, we're losing the U.S. dollar as the number one world currency.
All right. This actually cuts it off in a weird way. But basically, I wish this was a better clip. Oh, wait.
Well, no. Yeah, use the one that's in the tweet that the White House tweeted.
Okay, here you go.
Yeah.
Come on.
I shouldn't say it's completely unedited. Obviously, they didn't leave the part in where she was like, socialism.
They should have. That would be too good. All right, here we go. Let me see if I can get this to play properly. All right, hold on. Sorry. Come on.
Joe Biden had the largest public investment in social infrastructure and environmental programs that is actually finishing what FDR started, that LBJ expanded on, and Joe Biden is attempting to complete. Programs to address education, medical care, urban problems, rural poverty, transportation, Medicare, Medicaid, labor unions. And he still is working on it.
By the way, her reading of urban problems is one of those like the word she's saying isn't racist, but her reading of it is like super racist.
Urban problems.
It's the same effect of the line in A Few Good Men when Jack Nicholson's like, "You, Lieutenant Weinberg, like, wow, yeah, like what you said wasn't anti-Semitic, but the line reading was very anti-Semitic."
Yeah, you put a little too much emphasis on Berg. I think it's right.
put a little too much sauce on that. Yeah. So I know it's an old joke. Does the Biden campaign have to report this as an in-kind donation to them?
Should be. I mean, dude, when I saw that original clip, I mean, it was, I'm like, this is not bad. These are things Americans want. Education programs, urban problems, they're fixing them. Holy shit, what are they doing?
Medicare, like she literally, Medicare, Medicaid, shit. Like she invokes arguably the two most popular Democratic presidents of all time. He's continuing their work. Like those guys did a lot of really good work. Like, thanks, Joe Biden.
Can we get another like LBJ? Can we get another FDR? Are you fucking serious? Is Joe Biden FDR? My God. Right. So it is really funny, but that's the backwards world they live in. Is mentioning FDR and, you know, and LBJ is going to somehow like get people to run for the hills. Yeah, your people, but people who actually pay attention, who have actually quite literally benefited from the great society.
Right.
Yeah. They want more of that. That's what Democratic voters have been angry at Democrats is to not that the fact that they haven't been pushing those things.
I love that some Republicans have started to like strike out against like Medicare. Like, talk about not knowing your own voters at all. Like, Medicare is one of the few things that's like, it's arguably the most popular social program that this Absolutely. That this country has.
Absolutely. I mean, like, they've been going after that and Social Security, like, equally.
Yeah.
Like, we need to get rid of this. Like, look, if you think abortion is a perpetual bad move that you made and that you're going to pay for that every election,
go after Medicare. Yeah, no, and watch all of your senior voters either not turn out for you or vote the other way.
Or die.
That too.
I mean, there's also that aspect.
She had another one of these moments, by the way. So I don't know when this was from, but there was some hearing that she was in where she was talking about like how important like walls were and like how all societies are like using walls effectively. And she was reading from an article that she had clearly never read before. And she didn't realize that the article was actually speaking critically of like the metaphorical walls that countries are putting up now all around the world. And so she's like reading down this list of like different walls, like refugee walls and this sort of thing. She gets to Israel and she's like, and Israel's apartheid wall, and then catches herself and realizes what she said. And so she had to back up and like put it in quotes because like she had to do the air quotes because she's like, oh shit. Like I can't just say that.
That's hilarious. She's dumb as hell, man. She is a dumb ass person. Yeah. Look, Republicans finest. They love her. They've been trying to, it'll be funny when she's up for re-election because they're going to be like, ooh, I don't think we're going to give you any money. That's a lot. You're going to have to raise.
I mean, not that she needs it, honestly. Like, she's in like a fucking R plus 50 district or something stupid like that. So like, yeah. I kind of get where she's coming from. What did Biden say the other day too? He was, that's right. He was in Oklahoma. At a ceremony, like groundbreaking for, you know, one of the many Build Back Better thing projects they got approved because, you know, money went out to taker states. Ironically, it was the same. It's the same district of the representative who is the you lie guy at the Obama.
Oh, yeah.
State of the Union.
Joe Wilson.
Yeah. Yep. And he talks about Marjorie Taylor Greene, and he's like, guess what? He's like, I'll be in her district in a couple of weeks at a groundbreaking ceremony for this new fucking thing that's going on. Like, I'll see her there, I'm sure. So.
Hell yeah, good for him. And that's what he should do.
Yeah.
Like, you should go to every Republican fucking place and be like, yeah, you're welcome, bitch. I did that. Like, you enjoying this? Good. Yeah, old Joe did it. Not your fucking Congress people. And look, the ones that are like, are forced to stand up there with him, which most of them won't. I'd be like, man, I wish you would have voted for this. That would have been great. It's like, yeah. I'd embarrass them. Like, fuck that. Don't be nice. Fuck
no,
that.
Be a dick. Be a dick. You've earned it.
Yeah, you earned it.
Yeah. But yeah, I would imagine that this is honestly not the last of these kind of ads because again, if you're going to speak honestly to the voters about what the Biden administration is doing, these are the things that you kind of have to talk about, even though you don't realize that, like, actually, no, most of the things that you're mentioning are wildly popular.
Yeah. But again, they don't realize because they live in a fantasy world.
Yep.
They live in a fantasy world where helping people and doing things for society are frowned upon. And everyone is a rugged individualist until they need help. And mm-hmm. then, you know, then they're different. You know, like when she got like $1 million in her PPP loans, whatever. Minor facts. All right. That is it for us for this week. We will see you guys next week for another episode.
See you.